Steve here.
Ken Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Countout. We're coming to the end of 2017, Larson.
Yeah, this is the last day of 2017.
Ooh, that's right. Do you have any big plans for the new year? So New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, no.
Yeah.
No, you're gonna... I think I meant 2018, just working.
Oh,
going
yeah.
Gym.
We're going to be doing our thing.
Yeah, it's more the same.
Yeah. This is our countout show. We're going to talk about bad matches of 2017.
No, just the most disappointing matches.
Biggest piles of crap 2017.
Most disappointing matches of 2017.
That's fine, too. Anyways, we're here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit whatever subscribe buttons they have available wherever you watch this show or listen to this show. Just hit it. If you can leave a review somewhere, leave it.
Yeah.
If you can leave a rating of some sort, do it.
Please.
If you want to go to the Patreon and shell out some money to help support us, that's great.
That'd swell.
Love money, and yeah. It really does help the show.
Yeah.
And you get stuff in return.
You do.
It's like a subscription type thing, but
yeah,
not
that's pretty
really.
Much what it is.
Kind of. We're also on Pro Wrestling Tees Shop.
We are.
We have a Going In Raw store there.
We do.
Where t-shirts happen.
Are available.
And can be on your body.
For a price.
Money in exchange for goods.
Yes. Capitalism.
Anyways, talk about the worst intro ever. We're going to talk about the worst matches ever.
No, most disappointing matches. Because some of these matches aren't necessarily bad. It's just they just didn't play how we expected.
Okay, one of them is really good.
Yeah, with a disappointing outcome.
One of them is really good. One of them is kind of fun. One of them is so bad. Anyways,
some of these are really bad, but not all of them are really bad.
Let's just get this real started here.
All right.
Number 10.
10.
Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar at No Mercy 2017.
This wasn't a bad match, but just coming on the heels of the chaotic masterpiece of SummerSlam 2017 where Braun destroyed Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'd get more of the same, but what we got instead was a pretty typical Brock Lesnar circa 2016-2017 match against Braun Strowman. No action outside the ring. No announced tables were broken. No tables, no furniture of any kind were broken, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
No chairs were employed.
Yeah.
It was just like a wrestling match inside the ring, and it just wasn't what I was hoping for or expecting.
Well, they got Brock on this sort of path to Roman Reigns where he's going to lose his Universal title, where one F5 now puts everybody down. And so we got one F5. He did the same thing with Samoa Joe, or it was weird. Like, oh, one F5, that's it. And then with Braun Strowman, one F5, put him down. It's Braun Strowman. Give me a break. Come on.
He can kick out of one.
He can kick out of one of those.
If you want Reigns to seem more impressive, have him kick out of two.
I know, exactly. So, I don't know. It was just kind of bunk. It was like, yeah, like you said, you know, especially after SummerSlam, nothing but chaos. In this case, it was nothing but the same old, same old.
Yeah, it was nothing really that interesting. I mean, there was a couple decent spots, but they were all inside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we're so used with Braun to get maximum destruction at all times.
Yeah.
And this wasn't that.
No, it wasn't.
And without that, it just felt, it felt a little flat.
It felt textbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like an obligation on Brock's part.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it was what it was.
It was what it was. Mediocre.
Next, number 9.
9.
Shibata versus Kazuchika Okada.
Sakura Genesis 2017.
Sorry. Yeah.
So this is after Shibata won the New Japan Cup.
It's actually an amazing match.
It's a fantastic match. It's disappointing, though, what happened during one spot and the fallout from that one spot. And that, of course, is when Shibata headbutted Okada. And like they said, it sounded like a baseball bat hit something
in
the arena.
Yeah.
And Shibata got a trickle of blood running down his forehead and apparently actually caused a serious brain injury.
Yeah.
He had a hard time getting out of the ring. I think there were some concerns for a moment about his mobility moving forward.
Yeah.
And it seems like that spot's going to have to force him into an early retirement. It was good to see him at the G1 finals, sit in the ring, say, I'm alive.
Yeah.
So it's good. Hopefully, you know, his health will recover enough so he'll be able to live a fulfilling life for the remainder of his years.
All signs seem to point to Naito versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. However, I do kind of wonder what they would have had on the, you know, in the plans, because we know New Japan evidently likes long-term booking. What the plan was for Shibata, he was one of the top, you know, five guys there.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, legit curious what their plans were for him. This was horrible. I mean, it's, you know, with New Japan, the physical style they wrestle, you sort of start to think, man, these guys must be able to take a lot more damage than WWE. They're just people. They're just
human beings.
Their
schedule's different, so in theory, they are afforded more time to recover.
They have more, like, multi-man tag matches and
stuff.
And
then they're not on the road every single day.
Right,
you know, they'll do a tour leading up to a show, and they'll get some time off.
Yeah, but,
you know, but still, yeah, they're humans.
The bottom line is you can't go around headbutting people, like, for reals. And at that point, like, I remember watching, I was like, oh, God, that was a cool spot, but that looked way too real, and it sounded way too real, and it turns out it was way too real.
Way too real.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, amazing match, but it was an absolute bummer, like, when we heard in the subsequent days, oh, yeah, Shibata's totally in the hospital, and he hasn't woken up yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a big bummer. It's when pro wrestling gets too real, man.
Yes.
I don't like it.
Yes.
Number eight. Asuka versus Emma at TLC 2017.
So this is Asuka's debut match on the main roster. They were hyping her for weeks in advance and a series of video vignettes.
Mm-hmm.
And having been so dominant in NXT, I think we are both of the opinion that she should be maybe not quite as dominant, but pretty darn close. In her debut to establish Asuka as a force on Raw because nobody is ready for Asuka. Instead, what we got was Asuka selling for 10 minutes, slapping on Asuka lock and picking up the win.
Yeah, I gave this match a bit more benefit of the doubt than I should have. This should have been a squash. Or the next night on Raw when they had the rematch, that should have
been a squash. The match they had on Raw should have been this match. And the match on Raw should have been a squash.
Yeah. So this wasn't a great debut. I think they've kind of corrected the ship a little bit with Asuka. They're treating her a lot more like she is the heir apparent. She is the one to be feared. And that's good. I think that maybe they could even be doing that to a greater degree now.
Well, I mean, even to the whole lead up to her debut, it didn't really seem like anybody was scared of her.
That was a big problem, too. There was no sense of dread with her coming in, and there really should have been.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Instead, I mean, I understand the faces in the women's division on Raw wanting to get an opportunity, a crack at facing Asuka first,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the spirit of good competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the heels should want nothing to do with it.
Oh, I know, exactly. And they all went into that, you know, whoa, who's going to fight Asuka in her first match?
Everybody was going to it with a gusto, and it's like, yeah, we want to win.
Yeah.
No, be afraid.
Yeah, we'd be very afraid. So, yeah, anyways, it's kind of a bummer. Should have been a squash.
Or at least not nearly as competitive.
Yeah.
And then Emma was released, what, a week later?
Yeah, I know.
So it really served her no purpose.
Yeah, no, no.
It was just weird booking all around. I don't understand it.
I don't get it. Number seven. Rachel Ellering versus Christy Janes at Wrestle Circus. What is this called? The Summer Cody Rhodes
Summer Show or something like that.
Something like that.
Happened on August 5th, 2017.
I love Wrestle Circus. I've seen a handful of their shows on Twitch when they do it. I think it's fantastic. This was
a bit of an outlier.
This is hilarious because it was number one. I saw it and a lot of people saw it on Botchamania 349, I think I want to say. I know that number because I just researched a little bit. And so I went out and I watched the whole match. And it's when pro wrestling just falls apart.
Yeah.
And people start staring at each other in the middle of the ring.
Shrugging, doing this.
And pointing fingers and yelling at each other.
At one point, Rachel Ellering gets down on her knees in the middle of the ring and pretty much says, hit me.
Yeah.
So it's awkward.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
The curtain is pulled back.
Yeah.
So you see the intricate choreography involved in these things.
Yeah.
And when it's not working, when people aren't on the same page, when people are actually like at odds, shoot.
Yeah.
In the middle of the ring. And you see it played out.
It's
weird.
It's the pro wrestling equivalent of watching hot dog get made.
Pretty much.
You don't want to see that. You don't want to know.
You don't want to see the inner workings of that. No.
Exactly. So, but it is awkward. It's like the British version of The Office. It's actually kind of comical.
Yeah.
When you see what's going on.
But it's uncomfortable nonetheless.
It really is. I mean, yeah, it was not good. Kind of an interesting thing too. The Wrestle Circus did eventually, like a couple months later, I think, or a month later, addressed it. Somebody on Twitter said, so what happened with that match? And the booker, the head booker, I guess, for Wrestle Circus responded on Twitter, said, a poor booking decision on my part, not falling on the sword here, but Ellering and James are both major talents. I haven't seen a lot of Christy Janes. I've heard good things. I've seen a handful of Rachel Ellering matches. I love her. I think she's great. But then they continued We put two workers in the ring to tell a story, and all three sides had differing opinions on how it should go. Communication breakdown is our bad. So kudos to Wrestle Circus for some sort of, you know.
Wasn't Rachel Ellering involved in the match during the Mae Young Classic where they changed the finish because her opponent was no good?
Yeah. I mean, when you're that professional that you can do that, because I think I knew about it beforehand, you didn't.
Yeah.
And when I watched it, I was like, oh, you can totally see that, but you have to know that it's happening. Mm-hmm. And then I think you went back and watched it and you're like, oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't know, you don't know. I mean, you can't tell if you don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know that she can put on a fantastic match. This was not that because there was some sort of communication breakdown and they just started like staring at each other.
Yeah, there was like some weird no selling. And then Christy James was kind of like obviously going through the motions with some moves. And then, yeah, at one point, Rachel Ellering just sits her knees in the middle of the ring and just says, come on, let's do something.
Let's just do it. Yeah.
And Christy James does nothing.
She doesn't do anything.
So eventually Christy James just wins with the most awkward looking roll up.
Yeah.
And got the match over with.
And then they just believe.
Yeah.
Hey, just take off. No celebration.
None.
And then, like, you imagine being in the crowd, just feeling like, oh, this is so awkward.
I know. I was like, ooh.
What's happening right now?
Ooh.
Is this a shoot?
I know.
Are they getting super meta with this stuff or what?
I know. They booking a botch. This is the 2%, but intentional.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Number six.
Six.
Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler at Hell in a Cell 2017.
Dolph was involved in it. Well, I mean, he mentioned not too long in an interview that his role as gatekeeper is not good for him because he loses all the time.
Yeah.
So he's not really giving anybody the rub when they beat him.
He has no rub to give.
Because he hasn't won anything in a while. So maybe his more win recent rub. U.S. title win is subsequent dropping of that belt will be a sign that he can win things.
Mm-hmm.
So he has rub to give.
Yeah, now I think he's got a little bit of rub in the bank.
I don't know, though, because he dropped that belt, and just by saying that I'm better than this and you don't deserve this, I think that the belt is more of a rub than a win over him. Like, if someone were to beat Dolph and get that belt, that's a rub.
Yeah.
Just beating Dolph now, I don't think one win cleanses a palate of a year of losses.
No. In fact, I think, I don't know. I mean, if he comes back and he's still wearing the belt, if he somehow got the belt back.
Or went on WWE shop and got a replica.
Exactly, like a really fancy replica. And he comes out with it and then he says, hey, I'm still champion. I just went on vacation or whatever his justification is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, they've been trotting out Dolph Ziggler. They trotted out Dolph Ziggler for two high-profile feuds, two high-profile NXT call-ups during 2017, Shinsuke Nakamura, which we'll get to later.
Yes.
And in this case, Bobby Roode. I think they had been having dark matches. I know Shinsuke had
Dolph and Bobby are having dark matches, too, that were supposed to be pretty good. But there's a lot more than just this match, which was mediocre.
Yeah.
Horribly mediocre.
Yeah.
Why it was so disappointing. One, from the Dolph aspect, as you know, in his role as gatekeeper, he lost.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not really keeping the gates down for anybody.
No, he's not.
On the Bobby Roode side, we are super excited to see him debut on SmackDown. Seemed the natural fit for him in his NXT character. Heel Bobby Roode was great.
Yeah.
NXT Bobby Roode was prime Bobby Roode, in my estimation. Granted, I haven't seen any of his stuff at TNA, so who am I to say? nonetheless, he shows up on SmackDown Tuesday after SummerSlam.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
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 And he's in a competitive match against Aiden English that's interrupted by a commercial break. First of all.
You're right.
That should have been a squash.
Yeah.
Second, he does a lot of smiling afterwards during his interview and seemed oddly positive.
Is that what the smiling? Is that what it was? Is that what he was doing with his face? Because I can't really tell.
Yeah, I think that's when the painful Bobby Roode smile face started. It was his first interview after his first win.
His gimmick.
And then
pain smiling.
And I was
Bobby
like,
Roode.
This is not good. They're doing face Bobby Roode. And you said, no, they're getting the face pop out of the way. People are going to pop for his music.
I was so wrong.
Give it a couple weeks.
I was so wrong.
You were wrong. He's been face Bobby Roode ever since.
I know.
He's completely miscast, especially seeing how awesome he was in NXT.
I know.
So you have face Bobby Roode, and you have Dolph going into this feud where Dolph's talking about how everybody else is all flash, no substance, and he's all substance. And he and the embodiment of that is him starting his TitanTron package and theme, maybe like, I don't know, like four bars into it.
Then we get a record
scratch. No TitanTron, no music.
Yeah.
But he's still wearing his old ring gear.
Yeah.
He should just come out in plain black trunks.
Young Lion, yeah.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing also.
Because there's still spectacle involved in his ring gear.
Well, there is only one situation in which a record scratch sound effect is warranted.
The very first time.
Look, if you're going to use it for Dolph Ziggler's entrance,
I mean, generally speaking.
I'm saying in a broader sense, it's when there's some sort of cartoonish surprise that happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's basically, it should be reserved specifically for Benny Hill sketches. So it doesn't really work here. It doesn't make any sense. For whatever reason, they're still giving him that non-entrance entrance where the record scratch happens.
I know, they should ditch the record scratch. No entrance.
He just strolls out.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it's fine. But anyways.
The backstory going to this match, not very good.
Did their awkward lose their lines promo precede this match, too?
It was after this one, I think.
Okay.
It was after this one.
It was after that, okay.
I believe. I believe this is the debut of Dolph's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And so the finish was them jockeying for a position for a roll-up win, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby Roode ultimately got the roll-up victory with a handful of tights.
Yeah.
So if this match was all about who is the superior in-ring technician, and it's decided by a roll-up with a handful of tights, I understand it's done to prolong the feud, but it's kind of disappointing.
It should have been like the SmackDown match, because they had like a subsequent SmackDown match was okay.
Yeah, it was better
than
this
one. Which
was
okay.
Well, then that 2 out of 3 falls match, if that was really good.
Oh, that was actually a really good match.
And then afterward, Dolph hit Bobby Roode with a zigzag.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's all sorts of problems with this feud, though. Like, by the end of Dolph doing the thing where he comes out in different people's entrances, by the end of it, I was kind of laughing because, like, some of his whiny voice was actually kind of comedic. It was kind of funny to me.
He came out with that huge bass drum. That was cool.
And he started saying, "Look at me!"
You know, I'll be honest. I liked it more when he was just being obnoxious in that respect and not imitating entrances.
No, me too.
The imitating was so bad.
It was so bad. It was so dumb. The funny thing was, as a social experiment, it was actually kind of interesting because everybody knew whenever he'd go backstage and he'd say, "Hold on, I'm going to do another entrance." He'd go backstage and like DX's music would hit and everybody starts like popping for it.
Yeah, it's the Pavlovian response.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's like, do you know exactly what's going to happen here?
I wonder what would have happened if it had been like, I don't know, like Xbox X Factor song that people would pop.
I don't think they ever pop for that, man.
They came up doing this.
Did they ever do CM Punk?
No.
They should have.
I think they were in Chicago once. They should have done CM
Punk.
Yeah,
I know. What the heck?
Missed opportunity, man.
Totally. Number five.
Five.
Men's Survivor Series match, Survivor Series 2017.
Where to begin?
What a mess. So, I don't know. I thought this was actually kind of fun. There were some fun elements, too. We had Red Balor.
Yeah.
We had Shinsuke Nakamura got actually a pretty good... I mean, I know he ate a pin.
I mean, there was a New Japan a chant that was going on during this match.
Yeah, that's right.
There was some good, but there was also a lot of bad and a lot of really lousy booking.
And then... But... I know.
What do we say going into this?
Triple H at the end was actually really damn funny.
But what
do
we say going into this? If Raw wins this match, there's really no stories
to
tell.
There's zero stories for SmackDown. Yeah. And look at what's happened. There's really not a lot going on in SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. So let's start at the beginning. So yeah, we had these great moments between Nakamura and Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody that had history, like Orton and Cena, everybody that had history somewhere.
Cena and Angle,
had a chance to have a moment in the ring.
Yeah.
But then like 3 minutes in, Nakamura got eliminated by Braun Strowman.
You're right.
It's like, well, if you want to establish Nakamura as a contender on SmackDown, he should, if not win this match for SmackDown, like be in it for a little bit.
Be like the last guy, yeah.
But no, he was first.
Eliminated. You're out. You're done.
Shortly after that, Bobby Roode,
the other guy who should last a long time,
also eliminated by Braun Power Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the only person that came out of this match smelling like roses is Braun Strowman.
Yeah, true.
If we're being honest.
True. Kind of Randy Orton, too.
Yeah, kind of. But Team SmackDown suplexes Braun through the announce table, kind of taking him out of the match for a bit, because otherwise Braun would have won the match himself in like 3 minutes in that clip.
Which actually would have been way cooler.
Oh, yeah, that'd been way better than what actually happened. So he had Samoa Joe getting eliminated by Cena, and then
and by the way, sorry not to interrupt you, but preceding this match by a week or so, John Cena was announced as the final member of SmackDown Live. Everybody in SmackDown Live came to this match wearing SmackDown blue,
just as everybody from Team Raw was wearing Team Raw shirts, except for Seth Rollins was during the New Day match. Sorry, half and half shirt.
John Cena came out wearing
his new shirt,
his new green shirt.
Yeah.
And didn't really, there was no reason for him to be there.
No.
Beyond SmackDown, well, just needing another guy.
Yeah, needing the fifth member. Yeah. So Joe was eliminated by Cena after two AAs.
Yeah, Smojo was eliminated by John Cena.
And then Cena was eliminated by Angle after a coup de grace and an Angle Slam.
Mm-hmm.
And then Orton eliminates Balor with an RKO. And this is all the kind of like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
not a whole,
yeah.
There's not a whole lot of drama in any of this.
Right.
Owens and Zayn comes out. They pull Shane, who's for some reason in the match, off the apron as Orton's going for a hot tag. They beat up Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Shane manages to beat up Owens and Zayn enough with a chair. Norton gives Owens an RKO, but Orton is eliminated with a Strowman power slam. Was it this where Shane was chasing Owens and Zayn up the ramp?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's why
yeah.
Orton got eliminated?
Yeah. And then Shane comes back and sees that he's now facing Angle, Strowman, and Triple H. Just against him.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, we're both looking at each other. This match is done.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to have this match anymore.
No.
Sure enough, then Angle's in there against Shane. He puts Shane in an ankle lock. Triple H then pedigrees Kurt after having some sort of like, you know, internal crisis. Puts Shane on top to eliminate Kurt. And then Shane is eliminated by Triple H.
After pedigree. Triple H is like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, we're family.
We're good, yeah. You're my brother.
And then he pedigrees him.
Right. He pedigrees him. And then pins
him. And then, like, he's having the time of his life, it looks like.
Here's the thing about Triple H, too. Is that at this point, he goes into full Hogan mode.
Yeah.
Like, he's smiling. He just buried another guy. He still has his ugliest...
He buried an entire brand.
Exactly. And he's the entire time he's got the goofiest red Triple H version shirt because it's like his old English and skulls combo thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Latin words.
That's usually on a black shirt.
It's usually on a black shirt and it looks like whatever. It looks like, you know.
Looks like hundreds of his other shirts.
It looks like the year 2003. But this is red.
Because he's on
all
Team
that
Raw.
Crap on red because he's on Team Raw.
Team Raw.
And he keeps it on the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, dude. I know you're getting older, but I've seen Instagram. You look amazing still.
Mm-hmm.
Take that stupid-looking shirt off. You look so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And he's preening with his big leather face all smiling and stuff and happy. And then Braun power slams him.
Twice.
Which is... The end of this was so... I'm just going to say stupid.
It was.
I was chuckling and I was entertained. I was like, this is so dumb. I'm entertained. At least it's not boring. But in terms of like what it should have been doing, and then we saw Triple H the next night, and then never again.
Yeah,
there was 0 point for him to do this.
None,
because there hasn't been any reference to it.
Well, he just said the next night, what I want to make sure job got done myself or something like that.
Yeah, but he was there one day and then he left. And
I know,
like Survivor Series could have had like if you really want, they're trying to make Survivor Series a big deal again. And if you want that to happen, like, that should be the starting point for storylines that last you through the Rumble. And instead, with SmackDown, I mean, we've kind of got that with the Owen Zayn thing. They've just gone hardcore with that.
But that's the only one. On the Raw side, there could have been countless stories going on in that one match.
I know. A million things could have been happening. And we thought that was going to be the case, but instead, no. It just happened, and it was weird and dumb, and then it was done. It was over with.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was fairly comical, though. It was comical on how bad it was.
Yeah.
Number four.
Four.
Women's Money in the Bank match. Money in the Bank 2017. Well, James Ellsworth won it.
Yeah.
So that's going
to
be
and
why.
It was done as a ploy to boost ratings for SmackDown.
Yeah. James Ellsworth won the first Women's Money in the Bank match. So they can have another Money in the Bank match.
To pop ratings. And they haven't done anything with this. They didn't do anything else with that story.
No, they didn't. They let Ellsworth go.
Yeah, after and Becky Lynch beat him.
Carmella still hasn't cashed in her suitcase. Briefcase.
So I think when it happened, you know, I think we were both like, oh, okay, this could be interesting. Our initial reaction was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was fine with it. And I saw the reaction from like, you know.
Well, we talked to some people about it too.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay, yeah, I kind of get why that was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But we're both kind of taking a wait and see approach. Like, okay, well, what are they going to do with this? And yeah, in retrospect, it's like, yeah, no, this is, you know, they're so big about, you know, making history, even now, the Women's Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. That this should have been that moment.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes, instead of a ploy to boost ratings.
Yeah. Number three.
Three.
John Cena versus Rusev flag match. Battleground 2017. If you want to see a match that has a complete and utter lack, an absence of logic, this is your match.
Well, this is also the match that kind of encapsulates everything that is kind of wrong with John Cena.
Yeah, but it also didn't make a lick of any sense.
I know, because
sense.
It's all about lol, Cena wins.
Yeah, I know.
And there's that one spot where, you know, there's the two pedestals, and on top of that are holders for the respective flags.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Rusev is about to put his flag in the pedestal, and John Cena puts his hand over or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we're both screaming, like, just grab that three thing and chuck it down the ramp.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get the holder exactly. And just throw it. Throw it through the Titantron. Throw it down the ramp.
Pass it into the crowd. You'll never yes. see it again.
Done. You win.
Exactly.
So I believe both Cena and Rusev had their own pedestal.
They did.
That they had to use.
Yeah.
So just chuck the holder. Get rid of it.
There were so many ways for each of these guys to win this match that would have made so much sense, practically speaking. And instead, they went through this bizarre, like, series of, like, I don't know.
Well, there's
man.
Tables set up behind the pedestals.
Yeah.
And it's like, once you see Rusev set up a table, well, you know he's going through it.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And there's all, like, one guy is doing one thing, and why isn't the other guy just running to the holder and putting a stupid flag in?
I know.
I don't know. It was so dumb. It was so dumb.
Yeah, it was, in terms of last year, the ultimate lull scene to win situation.
Yeah, it really was. It was so, because, and on top of that, it's a flag match. You know, he's never going to lose a flag
match. Oh, I know.
Match.
And this is Rusev's return match from being gone from injury.
Oh, so bad.
And if rumors are true, and he was supposed to be both involved in the title picture, perhaps mm-hmm. instead of Jinder Mahal,
mm-hmm.
and then also in the Money in the Bank ladder match, and then instead he gets this match against John Cena,
yeah.
and then gets in a program with Randy Orton where he's squashed in like 8 seconds.
Oh, God, that's right.
I mean, he's bounced back, yeah. thankfully. Rusev has.
We'll see how long that lasts.
I know. But just this match in its entirety is just... I think we both knew going into it's going to be ludicrous.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be ludicrous, but it was so mind-bogglingly stupid. Like, you can only take so much of the suspension of disbelief stuff before it's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was funny, though. Number two. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler at Backlash 2017.
Yeah, getting back to Dolph.
So leading into this match, we had heard, like, you know, Shinsuke and Dolph were having these great, amazing dark matches, mm-hmm. you know, leading up to this. They put off Nakamura's first televised match on main roster.
For about a month and a half.
For like a month and a half.
So he can have it at Backlash.
And, like, you know, the lead to this was all Ziggler. Number one, it's kind of annoying when they have Dolph Ziggler calling everybody kid. Because, like, for example, Bobby Roode is, like, I think a couple years older than Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. That's a small quibble.
Well, then Dolph's beef with Nakamura is like, you haven't done anything here.
Yeah.
I was like, haven't you? You don't watch NXT?
You don't watch NXT? It's, like, the best show that's on TV.
Yeah. But even, you know.
This thing that they do where, like, NXT is
what we've said before.
And they don't acknowledge it.
Not really. And it seems like a lot of times creative doesn't watch it.
Yeah.
Especially prior to call-ups.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
So they put off having this match, which would have been okay if the build was decent, but it was just a crap build.
It was a crap build, and then I think we were at least hopeful. It was like, okay, we know Dolph could go in the ring. He could sell.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have, not on par with what Nakamura got out of Sami Zayn during his NXT debut.
But something kind of, maybe.
Exciting, captivating, something with some drama. And there was none of that.
No.
It was a by-the-numbers Dolph match
It was a by-the-numbers pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, oh, look at Dolph. Because, like, I don't know, like, when Dolph was hot, even, like, a year ago against The Miz, it's like, dude, Dolph can have a really good match in his sleep. And this was not that.
No. And especially with all the hype behind it in terms of Nakamura's debut.
Yeah.
Felt like if they had a match, maybe not on quite the same level as Nakamura and Zayn, but just a tad below.
Sure, it'd been great.
It'd be a great way to kickstart Nakamura's run on the main roster. Instead, lackluster feud, lackluster match. Their follow-up on SmackDown a week or two later was better, but still not great.
I miss the days when they debut a guy in the main event.
I know.
Because I don't know what the main event around this time was. Backlash 2017, let's see here. What was
Jinder won the belt at that pay-per-view from Orton.
Yeah. I mean, you have Nakamura win the belt in his debut,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like that. Something
well, we
cool
got,
like
you know, when he showed up on SmackDown after Mania.
Yeah.
The segment against The Miz.
Yeah.
That would have been the absolute perfect feud for
that'd
him.
That'd have been great.
The absolute perfect.
Yeah, that'd have been fantastic.
Put the Intercontinental title on right
mm-hmm.
away.
Yeah.
The characters of King of Strong Style versus
The Miz.
The Miz. Yeah. Just a perfect matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it was ideal.
Yep.
And then Superstar Shakeup messed it all up.
Yep.
And if they had decided, they knew Miz was going to Raw when Nakamura debuted, why even have him?
It's
because
even
not
dumber.
Like he went out there specifically to confront The Miz. He just went out there, interrupted his segment, did his introduction, or his entrance. That was it.
That was it, yeah. Oh, man.
Vince. I don't get it.
Number one.
One.
Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 33. So heading into this match, we felt...
Randy Orton burned down Bray Wyatt's house and was the face of this feud. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What's perhaps most disappointing... I got these receipts in my pocket.
What the heck?
What's perhaps most disappointing about this whole thing is up until that moment when Randy burned down Bray Wyatt's house, there was actually some interesting stuff going on.
Oh, I like this feud. It was a fun feud.
Up until that point, Bray, I believe at that time, was WWE champion.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We were hopeful that Bray would finally get the acknowledgement of his hard work, the WWE would finally acknowledge this guy is money, potential huge money.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing we wanted least that would benefit Bray the absolute least was for Randy Orton to come out of this as boring face WWE champion Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we got.
And especially like the lead up to this in the last couple episodes of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Dealt with Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton burning down the house, burning Sister Abigail's ashes, and Bray Wyatt then saying, well, you've unleashed the powers of Satan within me. The powers of Satan then manifested themselves how?
By Bray, I guess, you know, using his mind powers, projecting images of, I think, worms.
Insects, dirt.
Yeah,
dirt.
On the mat at three different instances during their match.
Now,
which caused a minor distraction for everybody involved.
If you think about this logically, when they show the camera angle from up top and you see all the projection.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But then if you think about it, if you're Randy Orton, you're just like, you're not even going to be able to tell what's on you. You're not
going
to be able
to
tell what's being projected on you. So what is this doing exactly?
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. And then it just happened, like, what, three times?
Happened three times.
And then RKO, Randy Orton wins.
Yeah.
There was zero build.
Zero drama.
There was no aspect of, okay, he's done this. Now he does this, which is even, you know, crazier.
Yeah, there's no build upon the initial thing. Yeah.
And then he does this, which is even crazier than the other thing. It was just projection. And then match, projection.
Well,
projection.
It was a standard Randy Orton match interrupted by...
Which is boring.
Yeah. Some attempts at being avant-garde wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I did not. Out of all,
and it was short. It was like a 10-minute match.
Yeah, I know. Out of all the routes they could have gone with this, they went the one route where we dreaded. We were like, they're probably going to do.
Not only dreaded, it made Bray look absolutely weak.
I know.
He said he has the powers of Satan.
Yeah.
Bust out some fire or something.
Yeah. Have him laugh his way out of an RKO.
Yeah.
You know.
Do something crazy.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. If Bray Wyatt is bestowed with magical powers, they got to manifest themselves some way. Put some, like, Evil's got those laser things in the end of his fingers. Give him some of those when he comes out or something.
Yeah, have him come out with a scythe. Did he even come out with anything cool?
No.
Did he have, like, a different outfit or anything?
Nothing.
They should have had, like, Luke Harper in I think I said this before, like a John Lovitz-esque devil costume.
Yeah.
Like, ooh,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, at least Randy Orton had the
sperm snake.
Yeah, the animated snake down the ramp.
Dude, I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. And then Wyatt shipped over to Raw after the Superstar Shakeup, and they act like, except for the House of Horrors match, that's all fan fiction. Had no bearing on his character.
I do appreciate that they did the House of Horrors match.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people were like anti that match. I actually thought that was a ton of fun.
It was better than the WrestleMania match.
It was way better than WrestleMania match. And I thought that it was... I don't know. I thought like the finish of that was kind of cool because it made it feel like it was two different universes, like Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So maybe that. I mean, hell, why didn't they just film that for WrestleMania?
I know.
You know? Because then you get like a break in the action. I don't know.
It didn't make any sense.
It didn't make
a
lick of sense. It was so dumb.
You know how miserable you were being packed in there during the show with all the lights flashing on you?
Oh, yeah.
The only moment I was miserable was when Bray ate that pin.
Yeah.
It's like they just squandered a great opportunity, because we're going into it, we're like, how awesome would it be if all this is Randy Orton's ploy to tear the Wyatt family apart, not to weaken Bray Wyatt, but to empower himself.
Oh, I know.
Take it over, Orton family.
Yeah.
even in defeat, it's a reset for Bray Wyatt. It's something new and different. It's interesting stuff to work
with.
And
it's something new and different for Randy Orton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got none of that. Boring face Randy Orton.
And then who did he drop the belt to? Oh, Jinder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
Terrible.
5 weeks later? 6 weeks later?
Gee,
month and a half later?
Yeah, man. That's terrible. I mean, even Bray Jinder could have been fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bray, I mean, there's any number of feuds that champion Bray could have been in, and that could have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. That's it for us. I'm sure there are a lot more disappointing matches out there. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.